Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Paul says to pray without ceasing. Keep on praying. Jesus in Luke 18:1 says, he spoke a parable unto them to this end. He wanted to get this truth across. And he used a parable then to do it. He said, the day is coming when I will no longer speak to you in parables. Amen. I will speak to you. See, when the Holy Spirit comes, he can speak to our hearts directly and distinctly. We won't need a word story. We still read and learn from the parables. But God wants to speak to your and my heart directly and distinctly today. Can you say amen? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit, not just what John wrote to them. That was by the Spirit. Jesus appeared to him. But let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Can you say amen? When you hear it in your heart, it's different than hearing it in your ear. So we all got ears, physical ears. But he that has the spiritual capability of hearing God speak, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. It has impact. David Wilkerson went to New York City, and he spoke to the gangs on the street. Street gangs were real prominent. They still are in our major cities. And you see the graffiti on the walls of particular gangs. The Latin Kings are in Plant City, and you see the graffiti on the walls. And David was preaching, and no one was listening. One day, Nikki Cruz, a gang leader whose dad was a warlock and whose mother was a witch, that's what he grew up in. Amen. He came to him and he said, I could cut you into 1,000 pieces. And David, God's peace, because it takes God's peace to say what he said. He said, if you cut me in 1,000 pieces, each piece will cry, I love you. He never heard nothing like that in his entire life. Amen. About 2 or 3 weeks later, he came back. If you read the book, The Cross and the Switchblade, and Nikki Cruz said, and Dave was preaching. He said, hey, preach. You're coming through. You're coming through. What did that mean? That meant it wasn't just the ear that was hearing. Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, and the Bible said their heart was pricked. That's what happens when the Spirit is able to speak. Can you say amen? Some people won't listen to us. They've closed their mind because their mind is blinded and bound. But when God speaks to them, they'll hear him. When God moves circumstantially, they'll get the message. And I'm expecting things to happen, some of them negative, before things get positive. When I prayed for people that didn't know the Lord in my own family and in your family, amen. Don't tell them I prayed this way. They'll get mad at me. But amen. I said, Lord, save them, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. We're that serious about their soul. Amen. I'm not afraid to do that because I know God loves them. And I know whatever it takes is whatever it takes is whatever it takes. And I've got to be prepared for whatever it takes. But I want to see them saved more than I want to see them with a temporary convenience on their way to hell. Can you say amen? So I prayed differently. And God told me to. I was just praying for their salvation. He said, I want you to go beyond that. I want you to plead the blood that was shed for them. I want you to bind the enemy that is blinding them. And I want you to pray that whatever it takes, that they would come to know me. I want you to release me to do whatever is necessary to save their soul. Are you that serious about their salvation? When I start praying for people's salvation, I begin to get reacquainted with eternal blessings of heaven and the eternal punishments of hell. It becomes more important when I pray for souls than any other time. Because I'm praying for where people are going to spend eternity. And that's why we can't let up. When we set ourselves to pray in intercession, we can't back off. We can't let up. There's something about continuing in prayer. There's something about a consistency. Someone asked me one time about a particular prayer that was answered that years had passed. And I said, they said, what did you do differently? You've been praying all these years. I said, there's two things that changed in my prayer life. One was the fervency of my prayer. fervency, the effectual fervent prayer. Fervent. It's not just mouthing the words, going through the motion, going through the discipline of prayer. But it's having that intense desire, that sense of urgency. A lifeguard who had worked for years and he was retired now, and his son now was a lifeguard. And he had done CPR on many people, and he had worked and worked and worked on them until the paramedics come and said, they're gone, or we can save them. Sometimes the paramedics would say, they're already gone. You don't have to give CPR anymore. One day, his son went out. While he was visiting his son went out to help someone that was drowning. He got one person to the shore, went out to get the other, and he himself went under from the exhaustion. And someone had to go out and get him and pull him to shore, and his dad came running and began to administer CPR to his son. They saw a man out there in swimming trunks giving CPR. When the paramedics come, they looked at him. His fingertips were blue, showing no circulation. And they tried to hear heartbeat. They could find none. And they said, he's already gone. His father just kept on giving CPR. Said, sir, there's no need to continue. He's already gone. He said, you don't understand. This is my son. Can you say, man, it's different? It takes on a whole different tone. Can you say, man, you don't want to just turn loose and let it go. You want to keep on. And he kept on for 5 more minutes. And they saw this man would have fought him if they tried to pull him off of that boy. Amen. And around the end of 5 minutes, his son took a deep breath. And the heart began to beat again. Amen. And if he'd listened to the paramedic who had pronounced him dead, he would have stopped. But he didn't stop because it was his son. That's fervence. That's when you're praying from the heart with everything that you are. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. In the Greek, the word fervent means, if it's applied to water, the word that was used for fervent is when water strikes a boil. To metal when it begins to glow hot. Most prayer is not like that. The average pastor in a pulpit this morning across America, as a result of polls, have about a 15 to 20 minutes of personal prayer in a whole week because they're so busy planning the programs and taking care of the church responsibilities. They're not spending time in prayer. But the whole purpose of deacons, amen, was not first that we might preach, but we might give ourselves to prayer and then the ministry of the word. But something preceded the preaching. Can you believe that? We're so good at preaching, we forget that the real battle arena is in prayer. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why Whitfield and others, some of them would go off into a forest to pray. They couldn't pray where the public could hear them, because they were interceding with such fervency that they were making groaning sounds and crying out to God. And people would come and see what was wrong with them and interrupt their prayer life. And some of them had to go into the woods to pray. But when they preached, things happened. When they preached, hearts were pricked. When they preached, people ran to the altar to give their heart to Christ without reservation. Because something happened in the spiritual realm. Something happened where Satan is holding people captive to the darkness. A light shines into that dark place. And they see heaven as a real place, and God is a real person, and hell is a real place, and Satan is a real person. And they do not want to go to hell and serve the devil. They want to come to Christ. They embrace the gospel. They don't count the cost of what they're going to have to give up, because what they're gaining is not to be compared with what they're giving up. Can you say, man, there's no sin worth your soul? And that's what they see. They think right now sin is more important than their soul. But when they see this, they will know there is no sin worth your soul. Amen. Satan took Jesus to a great pinnacle, showed him the kingdoms of this world. And because he's the God of this world, he can pull some strings. Amen. And he said, look at these kingdoms. I can give you the kingdoms of this world. Amen. And Jesus knew. See, he knew what he wants to show everyone. Praise God that those kingdoms are passing. They're transient. And even if they were permanent, you are passing. You are aging. You are transient. Can you say amen? But the kingdom of God is eternal. Can you say amen? And no sin and no person and no power and no fame is worth your soul. Jesus was astonished at how dark the world had become, and particularly the minds of men had become so darkened with it. He said, what would a man give? He don't get it. And they still don't get it. For what would a man give in exchange for his eternal, immortal soul? Then he told one of those parables about a man who was just getting so rich, his barns couldn't hold, his granaries couldn't hold the harvest. He said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tear these granaries down. I'm going to build bigger and better ones. This is not an indictment against prospering in terms of the material world. This is an indictment against leaving God out of it all. Putting this above your eternal soul, your immortal soul. And he said, thou fool, this night, you're going to draw your last breath. And when your breath goes out, something's going out with it. Your soul, your spirit is going to go out of your body. And who is this going to belong to when that happens? Who shall all these things be then? I want to say to you that are so busy, don't get so busy. You don't develop your spiritual life. The only safe place spiritually, not just from some shooter that may walk into a grocery store or a theater. The only safe place spiritually is to be under the covert of his wings. Amen. And in order to be under the covert of his wings, you've got to run to him and get close to him and stay close to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mother hen, I would have taken you under my wings as a mother hen does her chicks. Thunder rolls. She raises her wings. My old dog, Sophie, old lab mix, blonde, big brown eyes that just make you want to hug her all over. Sophie's so sweet. She's gone now. Amen. But I love that old dog just because she's just such a kind-hearted old soul. That thunder would roll. She's deathly afraid of rain and thunder. That thunder would roll. I'd be sitting at my computer, and here comes this 65-pound dog come running to me. She comes running, gets right under my legs, under that little place under this computer desk where all the wires are and the printer and everything. And here's this big old doggy under there, and she's just putting her head up against me. Amen. She's come running to me. That's what God says to do, come running. Come running, come running, come running. I'll cover you, I'll keep you. Can you say amen? But come running to me. It's under the shadow of his wing that Psalm 91 begins to be applied to us and nowhere else. Amen. Hallelujah. But under the covert of his wings, thou shalt not be afraid of the arrow that flieth by day, the plague that wastes at noonday, or the pestilence. It will not come nigh thy dwelling. No, the arrow that flies by day, I'll keep you, I'll keep you, I'll keep you, I'll keep you. But you got to come, you got to come, you got to come. Hallelujah. So pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Luke 18:1. Jesus taught to ask that you might receive, seek that you might find, knock that it might be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, but there's a way to do it, the effectual, say fervent, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. One translation says it's mighty in its working. Praise God. There's great potential and power in prayer. Say this with me before we go any further. Nobody is a nobody in the kingdom of God. Satan trembles when he sees the weakest Christian on their knees in prayer. Because prayer moves God. Really, it looses God to move. Doesn't make him do anything. But he has designed faith to work through this avenue. And see, we've circumvented that. Prayer involves staying close to God. It involves fellowship with Him. Well, we know that God heareth not sinners, the scripture said, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth His will, him He heareth. So, we've got these faith formulas now that don't involve intimacy with God, being close with God. We've got faith formulas. It's almost like a mantra. We're trying to blend. If you don't believe, we got to blend. You get your Bible out and compare it to some teachings right now. You're going to see we're trying to blend some of these Eastern religions with Christianity in the name of certain movements within the church. And I'm going to tell you, it's dangerous because we're not close to God for safekeeping spiritually or otherwise. And I'm not just talking about the physical harm that we're in danger of. I'm talking about the spiritual danger that we can get into by straying from that close relationship with Him. I was thinking in terms of people. It's an incredible thing. My mind is it goes places. But there's Bonnie Raitt is a singer from way back. She sings the blues songs a lot. And for a lady to do that, it's kind of unique. She's in the Grammy Hall. I'm not advocating her. I'm just saying there was a song, a real sweet song, about one person who loved another person who didn't reciprocate that love, who didn't love back. And there was a verse in the song, and I apply it to many Christian people today that don't have it in their heart to serve God. They don't have a heart for the Word of God. They don't have the heart for the worship of God. And the verse of that song said, I can't make you love me if you don't. I can't make your heart feel something it won't. And it's about unrequited love. Loving someone so much that simply doesn't reciprocate that love and love you back. Amen? Amen? We preach Jesus and Him crucified. What He done on the cross to stimulate that reciprocal love. But you can't make somebody love Him if they don't. And you can't make the heart feel something it won't. But if you ever fall in love with Jesus, it's easy to stay in that place of security. Because you want to be close to Him. Not just when it thunders and something scares you and you come running. You know what's really neat? When the trouble comes, that you don't have to run to Him. You're already there. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. You're already there. Praise God. Sophie didn't come running like that till it thundered. Fact is, she's hard to love on. You'd go to get down near and she'd move her head away like, you got bad breath. I don't like people's breath. Hallelujah. Amen. But when it thundered, here she come. Amen. But I loved her anyway, and God loves us anyway. But it's when we start loving Him back that we want to seek Him. We want to be close to Him. We want His Word. We want His worship. We want to come to His house. We want a fellowship with His people. We have a desire. My dad plays the most requested song on his fiddle. He doesn't play the violin. He plays the fiddle. He says, oh, no, nothing. That violin is for long hair music. And you say, amen. I play the fiddle. Amen. But one of his most requested was in the garden. I love the words to it. It says, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And He walks with me. And He talks with me. And He tells me. Oh, and the voice I hear falling on my ear is so sweet the birds hush their singing. And He walks with me. And He talks with me. And He tells me. I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Can you say amen? Intimacy with God. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, God is calling us to intimacy and relationship. I talk about the love of God to some people and they look befuddled and confused by it. They can't reciprocate love because they've never even come to a place where they can receive that love. And I'm not asking them to just passionately love Jesus. I'm asking them by faith to receive His love. Because when you receive it, we love Him. Why? What caused us to love Him at all? We love Him because He first loved us. Can you say, man? We sensed it. We experienced it. We knew what he did on the cross was for us. It was made real and personal. And we love him back for loving us. But I feel the Holy Spirit lamenting about unrequited love. I can't make you love me if you don't. I can't make your heart feel something it don't. Amen? If you ever fall in love with Jesus, you won't have trouble giving up the world and your worldly friends and worldly Christian friends. Evil communications corrupt good manners. The actual Greek says evil companionships corrupt good morals. You're either going to draw them closer to Christ or they're going to pull you away from Christ to have that relationship. And you better figure out what's happening. Are you helping them or are they pulling you away? If they're pulling you away, you better look for some new people to hang with. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Be ye not unequally yoked together. And it's not just believer and unbeliever. It's believer with them that say they're believers. That are not following Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about their salvation. I'm talking about where they're leading you, honey. I'm talking about where you're headed. Amen. Because God wants you to come close to him. Because he wants to keep you safe spiritually, and mentally, physically, emotionally, even financially. Can you say, man, when you're under his wing, you're under his wing. And God's going to care for you. God will make a way. But he needs you to come near to him. Not just use some faith formula. Amen. Say, I'm standing on the word. No, this is about obeying the word. Because you love the one who spoke it. If a man love me, he'll stand on my word. No, he'll keep my commandments. Oh, hallelujah. And they won't be grievous to him. He won't look like he's been sucking persimmons on Sunday morning. Hallelujah. Joy of the Lord is the result of a right relationship of intimacy and fellowship and reciprocated love. I'm my beloved's, and he is mine. His banner over me is love. I'm my beloved's, and he is mine. His banner over me is love. I'm my beloved, and he is. We sing that song, and some people look at me like a calf at a new gate. They can't figure it out. They know nothing. I prayed for years for people to have the first love rekindled, and I'm discovering there's a lot of Christians in this generation that has never had the first love kindled at all. The Bible said that you being rooted and grounded in love, that you being rooted, potting soil, seedling, you start your Christian life getting rooted and grounded. Rooted is agricultural. Grounded is architectural. The strength of that building is based on the strength of that foundation. Can you say amen? And when that foundation is on the love of God, you're going to love him back. And and when you love him back with a fervent love, your prayer life is going to take on something more than duty, but an opportunity to come to the garden and fellowship with him. And while you're in that holy fellowship, to present the petitions and the needs before him. But it starts with fellowship and not petition. Can you say, man, it's not just standing on the word, it's obeying the word. God is so gracious and God is so good. And he's calling us like that mother hen. He's got his wings outstretched toward us today. How many times would I have taken you under my wings? You wouldn't come. Kill the prophets, you stone them that I sent you, but my wings are outspread. No need for you to perish. There's great danger, but there's safety here. Safety. Security. The joy we share as we tarry there that another has ever known. Bible said in James 5, 16 through 18, confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was subject to like passions as we are. But he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth for a space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Wow. Here's the biblical principle. It wasn't just about that judgment. He prayed to come in the will of God to humble Israel, and then the blessing when they repented. But prayer opens and shuts heaven. You didn't hear me. Prayer of a righteous man, fervently prayed, opens and shuts the heavens. What you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. These are the keys to the kingdom. And what you loose on earth shall be loosed in the heavens. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If you pray in my will, heaven is going to back up that prayer. To bind and to loose. We need to bind the devil and we need to loose the prisoners. Ah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Keep on praying. And pray in authority. God said the eyes of the Lord in his word run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong. God wants to move. God wants to move. But he's designed that we work in tandem. Listen, he said you have not because you ask not. And you ask and receive not because you ask selfishly. To consume it on your selfish lust. But when you ask in prayer, believing in the right attitude, hallelujah, praise God, heaven begins to open to answer. Heaven begins to bind up on the earth what is holding back. God works with man to accomplish his eternal purposes. His power is released. But we got to pray differently. We got to pray just like that man was working on his son. And everybody says it's too late, give up, quit. He says, you don't understand. This is too important. This is too vital. This is my son's life. Hallelujah. That's fervency. That's fervency. That's fervency. Matthew Henry commenting on this verse says it must be a pouring out of the heart to God. And it must proceed from a faith unfeigned. They that come to God must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Can you say amen? A rewarder of them that pray a while, give up and quit. No, a rewarder of them that pray without ceasing. Hallelujah. Amen. Everybody say a rewarder. He goes on to say, Matthew Henry, amen, that Elijah prayed earnestly, or in the original, in prayer he prayed. In prayer he prayed. He was already in that communion with God. And he prayed in the context of that walk he had with the Lord. He didn't just serve the world for 6 days, get in trouble, and then suddenly try to develop a prayer life. But in prayer he prayed. That means I'm in communion with God 24/7. And while I'm in communion with him, he unctioned me to pray for these things, and I prayed for these things. Can you say amen? But I'm in prayer all the time. That don't mean that you can't hold a conversation with somebody, but my walk with God is I'm conscious of him. I don't just come to church and try to find him and feel him. I mean, I'm conscious of him every day of my life, everywhere that I go. God goes with me. Hallelujah. And sometimes a breeze will come on a hot day and just mentally I'm saying, thank you, Jesus. That's just so nice. I'm not even Italian, but I feel that's just so nice. Amen. You're just so good. I bless your name. Hallelujah. Paul. If you don't, your conscience lets you know. You say, you know, God is not in your thoughts. He's not in any of your life except through these emergency situations. Don't be like Sophie. Don't wait for the thunder. Oh, but be like her. If thunder gets you to God, by all means, run to him. But when you get there, consider staying there. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So the next time the storm comes, you'll already be there. Praise the Lord. I'm looking at people this morning that need a relationship with Jesus. Not just your faith, your creed, your dogma, but a relationship with the living God. Church signs are usually really hokey. Saw one the other day I really liked. It said, most religions try to make bad men good, better. Bad men good. But Christianity makes dead men alive. When dead men have this life in them, it takes care of making the bad man good. But it doesn't start out with making you good. It starts out with making you alive. He that hath the Son hath life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Some people got a bumper sticker that has this great statement of faith, but that old sourpuss sitting in the front seat can't verify that. God wants to change that. Can you say, man, I came to give you life? And that more abundantly. Praise God. All right, listen carefully. We're almost done with this part. Paul says we're to pray without ceasing. Here's some things I wrote down. Satan will vigorously oppose us as we move into this kind of power with God. If you're going to pray like this, you go to Ephesians chapter 6 and put on every single piece of spiritual armor that you might be able to what? Withstand, amen, in the evil day. Because believe me, Satan is not going to take it laying down. He will fight what he fears, and he fears this. He will also seek to distract us and break the spiritual momentum that perpetual prayer is producing. Distraction. Everybody say distraction. Things happen that have to be strategic when I set myself to pray. Sometimes I set myself to pray, you know, in the evening, and something will happen. My dad will call, I just ran out of something. Can you go? I was getting ready to go pray. And now I'm going to the store. Now I'm going up to an apartment. I'm coming back, and all that focus is kind of broken now. And the hour is growing late, and I wish I'd have prayed in the morning so nothing could distract me. But the distractions come. So sometimes I pray late. Sometimes I pray in bed. So sleepy, I'm about to go to sleep, but I say, no, not until I pray. I can't lay this down. I can't stop this now. I'm too close. We're seeing things begin to happen. And even if we didn't, we know in the heavenlies something is happening. Something is occurring. Can you say amen? The devil will fight that. Amen. Great revivals and marvelous things of God are born out of desperate praying. Many times when the answer is achieved and the blessing comes, the prayer life cools off. We lose the sense of urgency that produced the fervent praying. The moment the momentum is broken, victory is lost, the vanquished enemy comes back in force. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. You know, when Peter was in jail, the book of Acts, held over to be killed the next morning, the Bible said the church got together and prayer was made and they all went to the Dairy Queen. Amen. I'm sorry, they didn't have Dairy Queens back then, did they? Did they pray a 30-minute prayer? Say, save him. You know, one guy said, if you keep on praying, it's a lack of faith. Just pray and forget, pray and go to Dairy Queen, essentially. That's not what Jesus said. He said, pray and keep on praying. In the Greek, it is in the continuous sense. Knock and keep on knocking. Why? Because he isn't listening? No, because we know he is. That's why we keep on knocking. We know he hears us, so we keep coming. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Don't give it. You know what? The Bible said prayer was made to God for him without ceasing in the book of Acts. Exact words. Ever say prayer was made for Peter without ceasing? Amen. They didn't give up. Amen. They were going to pray till the answer came. They committed themselves. Praise God. Amen. They were so deeply involved in fervent prayer. Amen. That Well, first thing that happened, an angel came, supernatural. Everybody say the supernatural began to occur. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. The supernatural began to occur. Can you say, man, an angel come into a man that they were so afraid he would escape? Amen. They had two soldiers shackled to him, one on one side, one on the other. Amen. He was in stocks and he was shackled to two soldiers and he was in a jail cell. That's high security. Can you say, man? But it ain't nothing for God. Angel came. Two guards are in deep slumber. And Peter is between them and he's asleep. And the angel smote him on the thigh. And he said, whoa, whoa, whoa. Angel said, come on. The stocks fell off. The door opened of its own accord. And a heavenly being led him outside the prison. And Peter said, he thought he was dreaming. He said, boy, don't wake me up now. This is a good dream. I'm dreaming that an angel come and got me out of prison. And then a skeeter bit him. Said, I ain't dreaming. They put one man in a casket to make sure it would hold him. He's a very tall man. It's supposed to be a true story. They hadn't got around to embalming him yet. They thought he was dead. Took him down to the funeral home. They threw him over in the casket to make sure it was long enough to hold him. He's a very long man. Said, we better check it out before we try to get him in and can't fit him. Have to order a special order. He barely fit in the casket. Amen. They were going to embalm him in an hour or two. He woke up back there in that casket. Woke up in the casket. He said, he woke up and he's laying in a casket. He said, if I'm alive, why am I in this casket? And if I'm dead, why do I have to go to the bathroom? That's just before he climbed out. That's a reality check. Can you say, man? Peter said, this is no dream. See, when God turned, when God moved supernaturally to deliver, when God turned the captivity of Zion from the mightiest country in the world, we were as those that dream. They're marching back to Jerusalem, said, can this be true? We have been slaves in Babylon. We have been introduced to their culture. We've been brought into their culture. Amen. And God has called us out of Babylon and given us our land. We were as those that dream. Hallelujah. And a knock comes on the door to people that are praying fervently without ceasing. And a knock comes on the door. And a little maid goes to the door, hears the knock, and said, Simon Peter's at the door. And they shush her because they're so busy and so involved in intercession that they're not even looking for the answer. They're just committed to praying until it comes. He had to knock again, and they had to get their attention, and they were as those that dreamed when they saw him walking in. How did you get out of there? God sent an angel. God knows how supernaturally to get the attention of people that don't know him, that are running from him. Now we're going to have a short video and a closing song. I want us all to be on the same page that we were brought into Sunday night. Some people you're praying for are going to ridicule you. Keep praying for them. Some are so thick, so obnoxiously thick-headed, they refuse and they come up with some kind of excuse. And they will put you down for even talking to them about Jesus. You may be the key to their salvation. Once you start, don't stop praying. They can close their ears to your words. They can remove themselves from your presence. They can't run from your prayers. Can you say amen? They cannot run from your prayers. We went a whole year without seeing my son. A whole year. Didn't know if he was alive or dead. He closed his ears to what we were saying. He removed himself from our presence, but he couldn't run from our prayers. Hallelujah. And I don't know about you, but my son's worth that extra time and effort. Praise God. This man, Dr. Ronald Whitaker, he was a doctor, a PhD, a chemist. He was an intellectual. He liked the long hair music. He also liked to party, and his drug of choice was alcohol. And he partied with some of the big shots in the entertainment industry while furthering his education as a medical doctor and an intellectual. And he didn't believe there was a God. He wasn't an agnostic. An agnostic believes there may be something up there, but if there is, nobody can prove it. And he's past defining. He sure don't care about us down here. No heaven. You hear it in John Lennon's catchy tune that's still sung to this day. Pretend there's no heaven above and no hell beneath. Pretend there's no religion. We'll have a happy world as we can get God out of it altogether. Somebody interceded. Somebody that was, if you witness to somebody, you need to pray for them. Because if you witness to them and they won't listen and they ridicule you, pray. Just pray. God knows how to get their attention. Can you say amen? Are you ready to receive this so we're all on the same page? Because we can't just do this at night. We need the challenge to sweep us all into intercessory prayer with fervency. God is good. Listen carefully. You may be that person that God is going to use.
It was February of 1975. At that time, I was an alcoholic out of control. I was also using recreation drugs, but primarily alcohol was my drug of choice. And I totally was out of control. And I had a lot of friends in the entertainment business, and Hoyt Axton happened to be one of them, Ringo Starr, and a bunch of people. And so they were having a TV special on the West Coast. And so Hoyt had called me and asked me if I would like to go or come out. And I told him, yeah, I would love to, because I knew there was going to be a lot of booze. I knew there was going to be partying. And while they were doing their special, I was doing my thing. And so after about 3 or 4 days out there, I became ill. And by ill, I mean I had a severe pain in my abdomen. I flew into Oklahoma City and called a senator friend of mine and told him I had to have a car because I was ill, I was sick. So they sent a car and they took me home, and I checked into the hospital at Wadley Hospital in Texarkana in February of 1975. I checked in with electrolytes, which means my potassium, my chlorides, and various chemicals were so far out of balance that they had to give me IVs to build me up. Now, at that time in my life, I was an atheist. I was a hardcore atheist and was living for myself. Atheists are self-centered and they live for themselves. And this is where I found myself in 1975 in the hospital. And they took 3 days and then they operated me. And when they operated me, I found myself in intensive care. I woke up on a respirator, which means they were breathing for me. I couldn't speak, but I had been laying there in a coma, and I had heard these people talk about how sick I was and how I was going to die and how I wouldn't get out of the hospital. And at that time my hair was very, very long, because I just wore my hair long. And I heard one guy say, his hair is long, and another guy said, not nearly as long as it's going to be before he gets out of here. And a third voice said, he's not going to get out of here. He's going to die. And after 3 days, I could breathe on my own. And I remember my doctor, my surgeon, a guy by the name of Donald Duncan. He told me, he says, Don, if you have anything to get right, if you have anything to get signed, you get it done, because we're not sure. We're not sure how long you have. So I knew. See, I had a condition that was called acute hemorrhagic necrotic pancreatitis. You don't live with this disease. Now, you can live with pancreatitis. You can even live with acute pancreatitis. But you do not live with acute hemorrhagic necrotic pancreatitis. Duncan had told my two sons that I would be dead before morning. They didn't expect me to survive. And, I'm laying there. Now, I'm a professed atheist. And when I say a professed atheist, I didn't believe in God. I believed in the power of the universe because I had seen it. You know, I'd seen life and death. As a physician, I dealt with life and death. I believed in something, but don't talk to me about God, and surely don't talk to me about a resurrection or a virgin birth or this type of thing, because I am in research science. PhDs in research science, the majority of them do not believe in God. They do not believe in a supreme being. They believe, and they're beginning now to believe, that there is order in the universe, because as we get farther and farther along, we see the order. But I was an atheist. Now see, it's very easy to be an atheist when you're successful. You have worked your way from Oklahoma welfare to being one of the most powerful men in your part of the country, one of the most powerful men in the state of Oklahoma in relationship to political. It's very easy to be an atheist when you have done all of that. Man can sit back and say, I don't need God. What is God? But it's very difficult to be an atheist when you're laying on your deathbed, because you begin to think, what if these people are right? See, there'd been one man by the name of Ron Short that has stood between me and the gates of hell. One man that had witnessed to me about the love of Jesus for 5 years before I became ill. One man. And, you know, I would debate him, and I liked him because he did what he said he was going to do. I mean, he was the only one that I saw that professed to be Christian that lived what he said he was going to do. And so I really respected him. I didn't believe what he said, but I respected him. But when I'm laying on my deathbed and knowing that I'm going to die, guess who I thought about? I thought about, what if Ron is right? What if there is a heaven and a hell? And so the most immediately, the most pressing thought in my mind is, how do I get saved? What is saved? What is saved? How do I get saved? And so I sent them for Ron Short. I wanted him to come down because I wanted him to do ever what he had to do. I had no idea. How can a man hanging on a tree in Israel 2,000 years ago, what is that to me? But I knew that he had something that I had to have. And that night, see, I had him go for Ron, but Ron wasn't home. Ron was in Alabama. And so I had him go and send for Ron. And that night was the longest night that I've ever had in my entire life, before or since. And that night is, as I would be laying there in bed, as I'm laying there in bed, I would begin to fade away. I would begin to fade away, and as I would fade away, I would begin to go down. Now, it was like darkness. It was so dark. It was like the very darkness just penetrated into your very, very being. And as I left, and I can tell you I left my body, because I remember when I came back into my body. You know, I don't know where I was out of my body. Now, there are people that talk about a light. There are people that talk about floating above. There are people that talk about a feeling of warmth and love. I didn't feel any of that. I felt none of that. I felt untold terror. Untold terror. Because I knew that if I ever went all the way, if I slipped all the way, I would never get back. Now, in my beings of beings, I knew that. And so I fought all night long. They told me later on, I not only pulled the mattress cover off of the mattress, I pulled the mattress up on me because I had to stay. I had to wait. I had to wait till Ron got there. Whatever he had to do, I had to wait. But I would, again, and then I would leave, and I would be going down like a deep, deep, dark terror. Now, my skin began to get cold. Now, it's not like cold when you walk out into the air. It's like bone bone-chilling cold in my lower extremities. And you can feel the coldness begin to come up the legs. And again, I would begin to leave. Now, and I would be in that darkness, and I'd be in that void. And I remember one time entering back in my body, because when I entered my body, it was like, just like that. I felt my body thud, my physical body thud when I entered back in. Now, I, believe me, that is the most horrifying, terrifying experience that I've ever encountered. And I fought all night long. And the next morning, somewhere 9:30, 10 o'clock, in came Ron. And Ron came in and he says, "Dr. Whitaker, what do they say is your chances?" I said, "Ron, they tell me I have none." He says, "Now's the time." And I said, "You're right." I mean, I'd cursed him, I'd spit at him, but now was the time, because I had to have whatever he had, because I had a short period of time on earth, and I didn't know, have any idea when I might make that trip and go all the way. At that time, Ron led me simply in the sinner's prayer. Now, I had no idea what the sinner's prayer was, but I trusted Ron. But he led me in the sinner's prayer and told me that Jesus had died for my sins. He had died for the sins of the world. I didn't quite understand that, but I knew, you know, he showed me in the Word of God where it said that. Now, you have to understand, I'm a man of books. I've spent a big part of my life, 25, 26 years of my life, in books, in, you know, all types of scientific books. Chemistry, like I said, degree in chemistry, advanced degrees, all the way out to the medicine doctor to practice medicine, all of these degrees. So he told me, and I believed him, because it's in this book, and it was a new book unto me, and it was called the Bible. And so I let Ron lead me in the sinner's prayer, and I said the sinner's prayer after him. And I can tell you one thing. There was a peace that came over me like I had never known. I'd searched for that peace. I'd searched for it in the bottles, alcohol. I'd searched for it in needles. I'd searched for it in drugs. I'd searched for it with women. I'd searched for it all types of places. But there was no peace in my life. But once I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I was no longer afraid. I still believed I was going to die, because I knew the condition I had is that you do not survive it. I knew that. I'm a physician. I knew what I had, you did not survive. And he shows me in the Word of God, it says, "These signs shall follow those that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." I walk around on planet Earth this day taking no insulin, taking no enzymes, eating whatsoever that I might, and God produces in my body every day the correct material for me to function without having to take medication. You know, when you see blind eyes open, you see the cripples walk, you see the leopards cleansed, and you see them with your own eyes, you know, you see that, then it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that, you know, the Bible is true.
Doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask right now, is there anyone in this room that's away from Christ? You're not in that place of closeness, that if you face something like this, that you could have that kind of peace. Could I just see your hand? Anyone here? Anyone here that needs to know that you know that you know that you're that close to God, that you could face the reality of death and eternity without any fear or trepidation, because you know that your soul is in his hands. Anyone in this room? Anyone in this room? All right, I'm going to ask a second question. You're here today, and you're more serious right now at this moment about your testimony, your walk with God, your intercession for others than you've ever been. You feel a seriousness in your soul about these things. You're going to pray like you've never prayed, or you're going to pray again like you used to pray. Can you say, man? You're going to live this life before people because you may be the Ron Short. You may be that person that is that God has placed you in someone's life that's rejecting you, not listening to you, but they can't run from your prayers. I'm convinced this man didn't just testify to him. I'm convinced this man prayed for him. The book of Jude said, on some having compassion will make a difference. Others as firebrands, brands pulled, burning sticks already on fire, pulled out of the fire. I believe intercessory prayer pulls firebrands, just like this man, out of the fire. Can you say amen? So that's another reason Paul said pray without ceasing. Glory be to God. Will you stand to your feet today? I believe God is going to bring us into a place of prayer and power with Himself. And in this time of praying in our personal lives, an intimacy with Him is going to be developed. And a reciprocal love is going to flow out of that prayer life. That we're going to love Him back for loving us as much as He did. Can you say amen? And I don't know about you, but I come running to Him. I don't need someone to threaten me. Life threatens me. The circumstances of this fallen world are a threat to me. We're in great spiritual danger of falling away in this last day. But there's a place of safety and security in the Lord Jesus Christ in getting close to Him and staying close to Him. Let's worship in this song before we leave here today. And can we pray one more prayer while we're praying? John is with his daddy. He lost his mother not long ago, his dad, John, Kim's husband, in the hospital. They don't know what's wrong with him, but he's in the hospital with him. Father, we pray for John. We pray for his dad right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray that you will be where they are and your will be done in that place. And your name will be lifted up and exalted. And as John prays for his father in the name of Jesus Christ, that you we join with him right now and with Kim right now in Jesus' name and intercession. For his dad, Lord, that he might, number one, know you as his Savior, his true Savior, and that he might be healed and raised up until you're ready to call him. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. How many will run to God and not from him? Praise God. How many want to get close to that mercy seat? Hallelujah, and stay close. Let's give him praise today. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's praise Him today. Thank you, Father.
In the darkness, where everything is unknown, I face the power of sin on my own.
Jesus, we love you.
I did not know of a place.
Thank you for the blood, Lord. Jesus.
Where I could find a way to heal my wounded.
The altars are still open if you need to come.
He said that I could come into His presence without fear, into the holy place where His mercy hovers near. I'm running to the mercy seat where Jesus is calling. He said,
strengthen our commitment to Him this morning. Hallelujah.
Are you living where hope is not there? You're lost in the curse of a lifetime of sin.
Jesus.
Love and illusions, they never come true.
Jesus.
I know where there's a place, a mercy for you.
Hallelujah.
He said you could come into His presence without fear, into this holy place where His mercy hovers near.
Let's run to Him.
To the mercy seat where Jesus is calling. He said,
could happen here with our loved ones. Hallelujah. 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 With our children, our grandchildren. See your grandchildren. Can you see your loved ones running to God instead of running from Him? Hallelujah.
I'm running to the mercy seat.
Oh, hallelujah.
I thank you for the mercy seat. I thank you for the mercy seat. Somebody thank you for the mercy seat.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The blood of Jesus speaks of better things. Hallelujah. Let's give Him praise. This is a double dismissal. If you have to go, we fully understand. Amen. But God is hearing. God is calling us to see through the eye of faith. Hallelujah. What He wants to accomplish. Praise the Lord. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Chains are going to break. Chains are going to break. Chains of darkness are going to break. Hallelujah. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 You have to go, leave reverently. Thank you for coming. Hallelujah. Seal this in our hearts, Lord. Seal it in our hearts. Hallelujah.
Jesus saves, and the heart of mercy brings.
Drawn closer, it's a legitimate prayer. Drawn closer, drawn closer, drawn closer, drawn closer. Hallelujah. Draw nigh to me, and I will draw nigh to you. You know what God is doing right now? Because she wants to draw closer to Him, He's coming. He's running to her. In the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit falls upon her now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Fill her heart. Fill her mind. Fill her life. Jesus. For the glory of God. Fill her with the Holy Spirit. She'll be so close to you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. He's drawing nigh. He's drawing nigh. He's drawing nigh.
Jesus saves, Jesus saves. He will die our burden bearing. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Critical condition that you know Christ and know His power. Father, Lord, we intercede today. Chains are falling. Chains are falling. God is calling. Chains are falling because God is calling. Even death couldn't keep Lazarus back when He called him forth. Call this woman forth to you, Father. In Jesus' name, heal her. Raise her up. Give her a testimony. In Jesus' name, we praise you today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We intercede. We pray without ceasing. Hallelujah. Jesus saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For an intellectual grandson whose mind can't grasp what only his spirit can see. But God will bypass that intellectual mind. He will bring down those strongholds that blind. He will reveal Jesus in the heart. In the name of Jesus, we stand in the gap for him. We make up the hedge for him. Open his eyes and let him see. We bind the enemy that blinds him. We plead the blood of Jesus that was shed for him. Call him forth, Lord, and let the chains break over him. In Jesus' name, open his eyes and let him see. And let him run to you and not from you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, yes, hallelujah. Jesus, 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 hallelujah. God is calling, chains are falling. 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 Hallelujah. Set the captive free. Set at liberty those that are bruised, and open the eyes of the blind. Open the eyes of the blind. Open the eyes of the spiritual blind. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, doctors have to stop at some point. There's no stopping point for you. Heal and make whole this body. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of the living God, we rebuke this spirit of infirmity that torments this woman. Loose her. Let her go free. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Let's give him praise in this place. Hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah, he's here. He's here. He's here.
Jesus saves. Jesus saves.
Yes. calling. Chains are falling. Hallelujah. Jesus. 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 Yes, he does. Father, open his eyes. Open his eyes. Open his eyes. Let him see. It wasn't about blind Bartimaeus when he said he opened the eyes of the blind. He was anointed. It's the spiritual fog that lifts. Hallelujah. Oh, it's about the soul. Hallelujah. Not the body, but the soul. Hallelujah. After you were enlightened, after your eyes came open, the fog lifted. You saw your lost condition. You saw your Savior calling. Hallelujah. You got saved. 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 Hallelujah. Jesus saves. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Keep worshiping him. People are running to him. You can leave when you're ready. Hallelujah. God is calling. Chains are falling. Stand in for Carol, who's going in for a test in Maine. Carol, for Kendall now, for a test on her liver. God is a healer of these things. Praise God. Father, we pray for Carol Kendall right now. Lord, she knows a lot of people in Maine, but not many people she can call on for prayer. So she calls all the way down to Florida, to the other end of the eastern coast, where she knows somebody is going to call her name before the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we're asking for a healing to precede the test. We're asking for the test to show the liver, as I prayed last night, for her to be above normal. You did it for my alcoholic son, Father. You know that it's going to happen. We know it's going to happen for Carol. In Jesus' name, heal her liver and make it work like you designed it and above average. In Jesus' name, and let the test verify your healing for the glory of God. And in the name of Jesus Christ, amen and amen. Let's sing it. This is victory.